It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. E right didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
I asked Sean before this show began, as the last show is wrapping up, who had a worse night? Mike Burrows, Matt Fries, who was the goalkeeper for the U.S. national team. And then we started to commiserate over, well, we could start naming several U.S. national team members and ask that question. We also got to throw in a special shout out to one Jacob Toby. Sean, do you know this story?
No, I can't say that.
He is the San Antonio play-by-play man who woke up to what appears to be his girlfriend using his Instagram account to alert the world that he's a cheater.
Oh.
And not just a cheater.
Oh.
He's alleged to have cheated with a Spurs player's sister.
Spurs player's sister.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, it's not one of the stars. No one in the rotation. It's one of the guys who was dapping people up when they fly by after knocking down a three, or taunting a guy from the opposing team when they shoot a corner three in front of the Spurs bench. I want you to look at that Spurs roster from 25-26 and figure out who I'm talking about. And you can start to guess. Non-rotation guy, I'll give you that. Okay. Wouldn't have been someone they depended on in the playoffs.
No finals minutes?
No, not that I remember. And you can tell me who you think I'm talking about. That guy had a tough day.
Yeah.
When you wake up and your girlfriend is using your account to tell people you're cheating on her.
Hate it when that happens.
Yes, it's tough. And not only, and then she alerts the world that you are dipping into, you know, muddy waters when it's a sister of one of the Spurs players.
That could get you fired. Like, infidelity can't actually get you fired. This kind of infidelity might get you fired.
I don't, like, the question would be, who the Spurs value more? This bench player or their play-by-play man? I don't know how good he is. As you look through the Spurs roster, you tell me. You can break in at any point.
Okay.
And then we'll get to that. But what happened, more importantly, last night was a disappointment. I was trying to find the correct comp for people who don't watch soccer for what this might mean. Because, sure, there are very impassioned or passionate fans of the United States men's national team. And there are also those who become excited about the team every 4 years. I was trying to do the comp in my life because, yeah, what happened last night sucked. And, you know, an hour after the game, it still sucked. It still sucks today. But I'm, for the most part, over it. There are other sporting events that could happen in my life, and I would not be over it by 10:10 on the next day. 10:10 in the morning the next day. Case in point, the national title game. My favorite team was in it. I was not over it by 10:10 in the morning. But you do your job and whatever. But still, it was bothersome. I am not bothered by it. I'm in let's make fun of these guys mode in some ways now. I do have some pushback for some who want to completely tear apart the team itself, as far as hold all these guys to account. What's that going to do? You want to hold Pulisic to account? Okay. But he ain't the root of the problem. He was terrible yesterday. But that's not going to fix anything for 2030. The program itself needs to take a step up. Going after individual players, they had a bad performance on the biggest stage, and we criticize people for that. We will do that, but this whole let's take the team to task, what's that going to do? You need to take the Federation to task, and hopefully some of these guys who were not old enough to play for the 2026 team will use the Olympics as a jumping off point as they try to get themselves ready for a 2030 World Cup and the qualifying that will take place, because this team will be old if we brought the majority of them back. They're all late, for the most part, mid to late 20s. So we're talking about guys who would enter a 2030 World Cup at 30-plus years old. Like Pulisic, the focal point of the criticism for some, 31 years old. He's a smaller player who gets injured a lot. To think he would be someone you depend on in 2030 would be a problem. Like we were kind of making fun of the Belgians for having Lukaku and De Bruyne as guys they depended on. Turns out they didn't depend on them in that game, and rightfully so. And then Lukaku scores like the goal to really cement how bad we were. Yeah. But he wasn't a major part of the plan last night, despite him having to come in and kind of save them on occasions earlier in the tournament. The Belgian team that they ran out there didn't have their three at least biggest name stars. Like the biggest name guy who started was their goalkeeper, because he's been around a long time, been a great goalkeeper. And that's the distance between the U.S. overall and Belgium, where their most accomplished players didn't step foot on the field until the game was already in hand. Ours were struggling against guys, and, you know, the American fan isn't always advanced on other countries and their players. Ours were struggling against what we would have considered a lesser Belgian squad, and boy, were we wrong. And it was over within minutes. Forget about the first goal. If you have watched this team play all a tournament, and even in the lead up to the tournament, there was a distinct approach they used to protect their back line. Being on the ball, taking it to their opponent, so their back line did not have to deal with an onslaught. Because if they played in the traditional U.S. way of counterattacking football against the best teams in the world, which they didn't really face, they faced a Belgian squad that people were questioning, and we saw how that went. But for the most part, this tournament, they faced teams they should have beaten, and they used the style that would work against them. Because even in the moments where they're playing Paraguay and Turkey, admittedly, the Turkey A game was with their second team, their B team, anytime the back line came under any type of pressure, they pretty much folded. And that's what happened early in the match. But before that, you saw the problems because the U.S. could not stay on the ball. Their high pressure was not bothering the Belgians. And when Belgium started to play through them, the pressure fell on the back line. And it's simple. This team played an immature game and a nervy game. And what I mean by that is, okay, you're getting hit with something you have not gotten hit with all tournament, a team that can play through your pressure. What do you do to muck up their rhythm? Forget about not attacking the ball in the box, which was a problem on the first goal. The hesitancy from their back line has been a problem all tournament. Once they have done that quite a bit this tournament, we just haven't had notice it because they've been able to score goals and stay and be in front of teams. But as much as Paraguay was criticized for mucking up the game, there should have been an early foul. There should have, like, I'm not saying you got to be dirty, but muck this game up quickly because things are not going your way. Belgium has too much of the ball. They're in a rhythm quickly. You know what? Commit an early foul. Hopefully you avoid a yellow to just slow down the game. If you need to boot the ball out of bounds multiple times, that's fine. But the immaturity they showed as far as how this game was going and how they tried to manage it was a concern early, and that just continued throughout. If you're being pinned back, find a way to clear balls, get the ball out of bounds. Even if you need to just lump a ball forward to relieve some of the pressure, do that. And the U.S., because that's their style, wanted to play out of the back, and that caused turnovers throughout. And it was very evident early, and it led to a very humbling defeat. I don't know what to say about Sergiño Dest letting and he was one of three guys who just let a ball land in the box, not attack it, fell to a Belgian player, and it was the first of many mistakes by Tim Ream when he was not in position to clear that ball, led to a Belgium goal. I will say mere seconds after the Malik Tillman goal that tied it and gave everyone a little bit of hope. It's Tim Ream getting dunked on by a Belgian forward who we assumed would be Lukaku, but it wasn't because he was not the first choice starter.
No, he just got
it's on his head as that celebration goes. He got dunked on. He got moss, whatever you want to call it.
By some guy who looks like he should be playing a bully in a English show about prep school boys.
Yeah, he looks like someone that should be in an Amazon Prime show.
Yeah, he got rejected for being Draco Malfoy in the new Harry Potter show. And here he is putting, yeah.
Yeah, it was tough. And Tim Ream is 38, and he's been someone they could call on whenever they needed a center back. The problem is they kept calling on him at 38 years old. And then
the problem is they needed him.
They needed him. The U.S. has a history of having solid center backs, at least since I've been alive, and not including Lawless, but since I've been alive. And that history didn't live up to that history in the most recent couple World Cups. 2022, we weren't great there. And in this World Cup, we weren't great. And it was covered up by how well we played on the ball. And then when that went away, we saw all the flaws that people were worried about. The goalkeeper mistake. No one expected Matt Freese to do what he did, but there are questions about your goalkeeper coming into the tournament. I don't know if he should have been able to get the ball on the cross that Tim Ream got dunked on. I don't know. Maybe that's something a goalkeeper could say. He should have been in a position to go grab that floated ball. But the mistake where it's 2-1, Pochettino has changed the setup. He took out Dest. He put Reyna in to control more of the midfield. They were getting bossed in the midfield, so he added another midfielder, took out one of your wing backs, and for the first 10 minutes or so, U.S. had a little bit of control. They weren't creating any chances, but they at least slowed down Belgium, had more bodies in the midfield, and I don't know that they would have taken control, but maybe we have a game or one chance or one more Malik Tillman free kick makes it 2-2. Who knows? Instead, Freeze on a ball, once again, as I talked about managing a game, he should have just booted that ball up the field. Instead, he's looking for a pass because that's the way they like to play. But in that moment where you're out of your box, just get the ball off your foot. Instead, he plays with it, screws it up, and for some reason, it looked like Tim Ream jumped out of the way of trying to clear the ball before it trickled into the goal. And that was it for me. I was done. You know what? I had a bad feeling throughout. And then the Matt Freese goal or giveaway was like, you know what? All right, I'm not looking at this. It became part of the background the rest of the way. It was not on the big screen the rest of the way.
Yeah, that was the
it's the crusher. While people are getting after them for the give up, when your goalie does that,
you just know,
forget about it. This game is done.
There's so many different like comparisons. I don't know which is the best one. It's like a Sweet 16 game in the NCAA tournament where it's like the Cinderella team like has a week of like, wow, look at them go. And then you actually play like, again, not even like a one seed Belgium. Like you play Purdue,
yeah,
who's like a four. And it's just like, oh, this is
apart.
What it looks like.
Yeah.
Like we're, again, like, Toussard is bossing us. Like it's just, you know,
it's a guy who's a big part of the Arsenal setup, but he doesn't play all the time. He's not an always starter for Arsenal, and he's a guy who's a 30-plus year old guy. So I don't know how long he'll be still playing for Arsenal. But it was just Belgium is a fine soccer playing country, but this version of Belgium isn't great.
Yeah,
we talked about how they were awful against Senegal up until like the 85th minute. And they just took us apart. And it wasn't like Belgium was great and they were so great technically that they just ripped us apart. It's just get the ball out of the box early. Just clear that ball, and they still would have probably dominated play, but it's not a goal. And who knows if you can work yourself into the game at some point. Instead, you're down 1-0. And I said, of course, the Tillman goal was great, but maybe a game. Look, the Tillman goal was scored in the 31st minute. The corresponding goal or the following goal by Belgium was scored in the 33rd minute. So you think, okay, that's 2 minutes of difference, give or take. But you got to take into account the celebration by the U.S., getting the ball up to to midfield, the center circle, and then Belgium kicking off.
Yeah.
So how much actual game time, like play time, came off the clock between goal going on the net for Tillman and goal going into the net for Belgium? 30 seconds or so? First attack, what did it even take 30 seconds to get up the field and score?
Yeah, you can't even do – yeah, I was only halfway through the I believe that we – like you can't even get – through. It was so fast you can't even get through our nation's chants. It's like giving up the return, the kickoff return touchdown after you like scrap and claw to tie it.
You got into a spot and your quarterback throws a dime to tie the game after struggling, but you find a way. This 12 play 80 yard drive and your quarterback makes a great throw to score, and then everyone's celebrating. Hey, we're back in this thing, and it's a kickoff return for a touchdown, and you go, oh, okay, we're not in this thing, and it just continues. It's a simple thing. Like, if we're doing this comparison, it's like it's a kickoff return, but your entire left side just fell to the ground.
Oh, yeah, it's like a kickoff return where the guy
didn't make a move.
Miss.
He just straight up the middle, big hole. And that's – it was, as I keep saying, Belgium didn't do anything special. It's the simple things that we could not execute that led to these goals.
I was trying to think during the game. I think this probably was the biggest no-show from any side in the knockout rounds of the World Cup.
Yeah,
like every other game, there's at least like some punches being thrown. Yeah,
even Canada losing 3-0 here in Houston, they played better for the first 30 minutes of that match than Morocco did.
That's what it is. It's not that that U.S. got outclassed. It's that the U.S. just got out there and looked rattled. Like they just weren't ready for the moment.
The lights are too bright.
Yeah, it was lights are too bright. Where it's the freshman quarterback having to make the start. You know, that's we had 8 of them out there.
Yeah, we have a listener, Art, who says this team was never supposed to be good, and they're never good. That's a fine. You can evaluate them that way, but I didn't have hopes of them actually winning the World Cup, but this was a winnable match, and they played at a level that made it unwinnable for them from the jump.
This game happened Friday against Spain,
okay,
like, hey, there's levels to this. We got it. You would think that, especially, we spent most of yesterday's show making fun of the Belgium national team's golden generation, and not only are those guys probably still better than anyone on U.S., like the non-golden generation Belgiums that made up most of the lineup, because they sat De Bruyne, sat Lukaku, sat Doku for the competitive portion of the game. It's like, no, the non-golden generation of Belgium, way better than your starter.
Because you, as a team, capitulated and fell on your face almost immediately. You talked about it. The passes that were connecting against other opponents weren't, whether it be just losing the ball, not winning any duels. Like, even when your pressure forced a long kick from their goalkeeper, you didn't win the second ball off a header. Yeah. These balls were landing at Belgian players' feet, something that was not happening. So you weren't winning the thing you're supposed to be good at, the physicality of the game. You're supposed to be a midfield that controls games. You didn't do that. And then when you did get on the ball, you immediately gave it away. And you know what? As I said, it was an immature performance, because at some point you realize, all right, all our quick one-touch stuff that we love to do, not working. Maybe put our foot on the ball a little bit, gain some possession, and just work our way into this game just to stem the tide, because we know we have a back line that is incapable of holding up.
Yeah, it was like the fastball, the plan A didn't work. Like the way that we wanted to play, obviously, just start the game. That won't work.
Yeah,
and they never got to the like plan B that can at least, again, not make this.
I think the plan B,
like JV versus varsity.
Unfortunately, the plan B likely was to do what they did to start the second half, which was throw Reyna in the midfield and just get another body in there that could get on the ball and at least have some control. The unfortunate part was, after you scored your goal, you could not get to the half without giving up a soft one. If you want to make a hockey comp, it was just a soft goal, and then the third one was the softest of all, And then, of course, the match was over at that point. So that's disappointing. You had hoped at least for a better effort. And you go back to 2022, while you don't have the howler that the Matt Freeze goal was in 2022, the 3-1 loss to the Netherlands kind of fit the same formula. Outclassed, you gave up goals where Dest, once again, a culprit, wasn't tracking runners.
Yeah.
Again, in that one. So,
long balls kill you.
Yeah. You're letting crosses that should be dealt with from the wing get into the box. And when Dest isn't tracking the runners, it leads to goals from the center of the box. So it was a tough watch. The World Cup is over for the U.S. And I think if you just look at the roster, if you just happen to look at the age of these players currently, there's going to be quite a few of them who won't be part of the cycle, and some of them certainly won't be on that, if we do qualify, because now we have to qualify again on that 2030 World Cup team.
I'm not saying
lock in on U.S. soccer when the World Cup isn't around, but for whatever reason, you're not dissuaded by this performance last night, and you care about the program going forward. 2028 is the next time you're going to see something competitive that matters. It's the Olympics. We don't have to qualify for that. We're the host. And yes, you're going to see a lot of guys who are going to have a shot to play in the 2030 World Cup, and certainly will be a part of qualifying on that under-23 team. So that's your next chance to watch U.S. soccer in anything that matters as far as internationally. All right, Eric, I see you want to talk soccer. We'll get to that when we come back. Anyone else? It doesn't have to be soccer. If you want to be yelling, you could yell at Pulisic, you can yell at Tim Ream, or you can yell at Mike Burrows. They all had tough nights last night. You can do that. The number is 713-780-3776. Have you guessed, Sean, the player whose sister was involved in an adulterous situation?
I mean, I know it's probably not Mason Plumlee, but
it's not.
I want him to be my first guess.
Well, your first guess is incorrect. We'll come back and see if you have a second guess that is correct. If you don't know the story, I started the show partly with this because I was asking who had the worst night, Mike Burrows, one of the U.S. national team players, or this Spurs play-by-play man who apparently had his Instagram account taken over by his jilted girlfriend who knows, or at least is alleging, that he cheated with a Spurs player who he happens to call games for. And Spurs player's sister, excuse me. That would take it to a different level. A Spurs player's sister, yes, he's alleged to have cheated with.
It's not Mason Plumlee's sister.
No.
Who I don't know exists.
No, I don't know that.
I know he has brothers.
I know there's plenty of Plumlees. I don't know if one of them is a sister. But what we do know is there's a very upset girlfriend with the Spurs TV man. Sean will come back with another guess when we get back. But first, I want to tell you about something you don't have to guess about. That's the quality of the service at Aqueduct Plumbing Company. Just go to the website. It's aqueductplumbingcompany.com, and they have a little, well, not a little, but it's a handy services drop-down menu that shows you all the things they do. And I'm sure something, if you got a plumbing problem, they'll be able to fix. Whether it be a giant problem like a repipe, they have done over 1,000 of those. They're Houston's premier repiping company, or something a little smaller, but certainly something you can't work out, whether it be a leak or a fixture that you need taken care of, or maybe you need a whole remodel done. They do it all at Aqueduct Plumbing Company. And the thing I love about them is they don't charge you for figuring some stuff out. That's where the free price quote comes in. So if you know there's a problem, but you don't know how much it will cost and you just need an evaluation of it, they'll do that for you and they'll give you a quote, give you an estimate. That's what they're about, helping you out and not making your issue a bigger one than it needs to be. You can call them at 281-488-6238. That's 281-488-6238. That's Aqueduct Plumbing Company. Just go to aqueductplumbingcompany.com. That's aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Genre. Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Araleia Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Araleia.
So we got a couple calls now. Eric will join us here shortly. And then Anton. Anton called in yesterday, said he was rooting against the U.S. because of a certain, I think he might have said orange man, but I think that's in reference to the president and his alleged interference and or at least influence in why Balogun was eligible to play. And then he got called out of his name by a caller. And Anton called back and I told him, hey, the unwritten rule is one call per show. But if you want to call in the next day and voice your opinion, that's fine. So Anton's here. That's the setup for when he gets on. But let's get to Eric. Eric wants to talk about the soccer team. What's up, Eric?
This is Eric. Yes, did Christian Pulisic, did he get treated by the Houston Astros medical staff during this World Cup? Also, who's closer to advancing more, Mexico or U.S.? And I heard Arsenal, Liverpool, Man U, and Man City are bidding to get the 17-year-old from Mexico to play on their team. That's the word on the street that I heard. I'll hang up to listen.
I think you're talking about Mora, who was featured throughout the World Cup for Mexico. Yeah, he is someone who is highly sought after. We'll see if he is a Premier League player after this summer of impressing people. That's what the World Cup is for when you talk about going beyond success for your country. It changes your career. It can take you from, oh, that's a pretty nice player, to now he is requiring a big transfer fee, and now they're playing at one of the best clubs in the world. So Mora may use this World Cup as a jumping off point to that next
Balogun
level of soccer. Yeah. He's plays for Monaco. We will see if this leads to anything. Matt Fries may get demoted. He may lose his starting spot.
And the Cabo Verde goalkeeper going to switch.
I mean, if we're just talking about different World Cups, Vozinha and Matt Fries, is Matt Fries going to lose followers? He can't lose
yes.
as opposed to gain them like Vozinha
like,
did.
Ugh.
Yeah, Matt Fries is down to 1,000 people following.
Was he in a commercial? I'm pretty sure he was in a commercial.
I don't remember all the players who got commercials. Was he featured or was he just alongside some of the other players?
I think it was him and someone else. And they're both like, I'll just say neither of them were Christian Pulisic. You know, they weren't. It was him and like some other guy that I was like, you know, it's nice that they get to be in a commercial.
Yeah, now he was relatively anonymous playing for NYFC. Now everyone's going to remember this guy for this.
Okay. Listen, I know it's the domestic league.
Sure.
We either the MLS has to get way better or we got to stop bringing it. Tim Ream, I love you. I love the presence that you bring. I don't really love the football that you play.
So here's the thing. Like, Portugal kept bringing Pepe along, but he played at Real Madrid.
Yes, he was, while he was washed in, still, like, he was still playing for top clubs.
He was way past his prime, still playing for Real Madrid. Tim Ream left, admittedly, a club I love in Fulham, you know, a mid-table Premier League team, and went back to the MLS. That is not a guy you should be depending on.
I think
the World Cup.
We got to do like. I honestly no. I was gonna try to put a number, zero MLS players. We just have to strive or have the MLS be better. But as things stand right now, we can't be doing this. We can't be starting two MLS players.
Yeah. Particularly when one of them is 38 years old. It's not like this is this wunderkind who hasn't made it over to Europe yet.
No.
It's a 38-year-old who's fully formed and past his prime, well past his prime. Still, he wasn't even going up against some of the best scorers in the world. It was Belgium.
Yeah, some guy who plays good, for Bruges or something.
Yeah, they're a good team, but it's not like he had to deal with the pace of Mbappe. I was worried about the Australian. Well, they didn't even start that guy, thankfully. And we saw he made a bit of an impact in the second half of the game against Australia. I was worried about Australia's speed versus Tim Ream. Forget about the top players in the world.
And these two jokers are responsible for
Matt Friesen.
Probably the most embarrassing concession in
this World Cup.
Right? I was going to say U.S. World Cup history of, like, you could play yakety sacks over that. That was so bad.
Yeah, as far as how that goal came about, I don't remember a more I've seen soft goals from the NFL. Yeah, like we saw soft goals in this game, but as far as embarrassing, yeah. I don't know that there's been a more. Look, we've had good goalkeepers.
Yeah.
We talk about Tim Ream. We've had excellent goalkeepers.
God's play.
It was one of our strengths. Our goalkeepers got to play for the big clubs in Europe. Now NYFC is where our goalkeepers playing.
We used to have like two goals. Like we had to choose between
Tim Howard goalkeeper. He didn't have a great time there, but Tim Howard played for Man U. And now look at us.
Yeah. You're running out. Not even a Red Bull. We're running out the other New York. I don't know if they're
the Red Bulls.
I don't know which ones the Mets or Yankees, but
Red Bulls were first. But I don't know. I don't know who would be that. But we're running off an offshoot of Man City in NYFC.
This is just
and our goalkeeper shambolic. Plays for them.
And those two guys. Oh, surprise, surprise! Those two guys are the ones who linked up on that.
I mean,
embarrassing.
You can toss Sergiño Dest in there too, and he plays in Europe. No excuse for what
he was doing. I know, but I think it's a way to start is to go. Wait,
Charlotte FC?
This is Sporting Kansas City? Get the hell out of my face.
You're 38 and you play for Charlotte FC? And I don't even want to talk about Tim Ream like that. He played for Fulham.
Yeah, no, we have respect for Tim Ream.
And his long career. But he should have been up there sitting next to Alex Morgan as one of the dignitaries.
Yeah.
Not playing in the game.
No. This is the state of U.S. soccer. The old guy who's starting when he probably shouldn't, and you know there might be some veteran, you know, got to tip the cap to him, but on skill, not supposed to be out there. For us, it's Tim Ream. For Portugal, it's Cristiano Ronaldo. Yeah.
I mean, as much crap as Neymar is getting for being bad, it was Neymar for Brazil. It's Tim Ream for us.
Tim Ream.
Or Casemiro for Brazil.
Oh my God.
Too.
Brazil had way too many guys that I've played FIFA with.
And not even
I haven't played FIFA in 5 years.
Yeah, FIFA 22.
Yeah.
Or beyond. Let's get to Anton, who was called out of his name, which was unfortunate. But, hey, he got his wish. He wanted to see the U.S. lose, and they lost. What's up, Anton?
Good morning, fellas. I wasn't calling back yesterday to address that. I was just addressing the fact that I had never watched soccer a day in my life.
Yeah.
But I chose to tune in last night after about the 30-minute mark. And to go back at somebody like, I would never disrespect y'all show like that, man. I appreciate what y'all do. You know, so I would never call back to go back and forth with somebody because I already have a 97% success rate when it comes to Houston teams. I don't support any Houston teams all the way from high school all the way to the pros. So whenever somebody goes at me like that, it never ends well for them. So I was never going to come back at him like that. But about the game, my favorite part was when they scored the fourth goal and the dance that they did. That was just amazing, man. But like I say, I would never disrespect y'all show like that, man. Just to let y'all know that.
Appreciate
That's all I got.
Appreciate it, Anton. If you don't know what dance he's talking about, the Belgians did the Trump dance, and they did it in the locker room after the game too. And I think it is a dance that Pulisic may have done. I don't know, maybe a year or so ago now, maybe 2 years ago or so. So there's a lot there. The Belgians were highly motivated by Trump's interactions with FIFA. They mentioned it during the post game and then afterwards as well. So yeah, if you lean into that stuff, the last time the president was involved in a sporting event, the Knicks lost their only finals game, and then the U.S., who had been playing great soccer, apparently got drained by the Monstars, soccer's version of it, and turned into their worst selves, all except for Malik Tillman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except we don't have Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tough. The guy in crutches is even doing it in this locker room video that I'm seeing. That's tough.
The end of the World Cup for the U.S. national team, kind of, at least as far as how the rest of the world is celebrating, is really a culmination of what this tournament was supposed to be for people rooting against us. We came in because of the political atmosphere, a team that the normal regular fan, at least the ones who like to express themselves on social media, wanted to have a miserable World Cup. People thought we wouldn't get out of the group. And this isn't to say, hey, we we exceeded expectations, because certainly we did not. It is just simply an added game that we got a chance to win against a lesser opponent. But if we just go by where it ended, it ends where it's always ended, except for 2002. So that is the disappointment there. And then you toss in the fact that it feels like you didn't grow any, despite the soccer being played at least every up until the Belgium game. You lost in the way you lost against the Netherlands, except you got the embarrassing Matt Freeze situation, which makes it even worse. And you did it on home soil. But you know what? We're about 3 weeks away from training camp, so we can move on.
That was something. That was something, because I watched it with Joe George, and I think it was after the Matt Freeze. I'm just going to call it the Matt Freeze goal.
Sure.
It's an own goal in spirit.
Certainly.
He did drop that there's only 10 Sundays until week one. I was like, oh, okay.
Well, I mean,
it's like 8 Saturdays.
They
till week zero.
Yeah, I mean, if anything, we would have liked a couple more days. But you know what? It wouldn't have got – if they lost to Spain or Portugal – or excuse me, Spain, we would have expected that.
Yeah. I'm ready to hear about – how the new-look Texans offensive line is handling the D-line and scrum. I can't wait to hear about how bad they are going up against the Texans defense.
Do you think they've grown from we need to keep Will Anderson out of practice to get things done?
No. I mean, maybe they don't say it
anymore,
but, like, come on. I we've done it, I think, every year D'Amico Ryans has been the coach. It's always the first, like, 2 weeks of training camp, they're just getting whipped. There is a natural defense ahead of the offense.
But they're getting walloped.
Like they can barely run practice.
Yeah.
And that just seems like a feature both in the positive and negative direction of a D'Amico Ryans, Nick Caserio-built football team.
I'll wait for the day where we don't have to hear that quote so we know things are trending in the positive direction.
Where just the first week, DJ Bienaimé is like, this Texans offense is dicing up this Texans defense.
I don't even need that. Now that I've already heard Will Anderson needed to be held out of practice, I expect the offensive line to perform like they have in D'Amico Ryans' tenure. We'll be exchanging this version for another version next offseason. So we'll go to break, but have you guessed which player has a sister who's alleged to be in a relationship with a Spurs play-by-play man?
Is it Lindy Waters III's sister?
That is the alleged sister in
there
question.
We go.
And I say alleged only because you got to, but there are photo booth pictures of one the said reporter kissing said sister in the stream of Instagram posts by an apparent girlfriend who hacked, or at least had access to, the play-by-play man's account. So now that you know, and you know the circumstances with Mike Burrows, who may be out of the rotation, and pick a USMNT player, not named Malik Tillman, who had the worst evening into morning, Sean? The whole country is sick of some of these players.
Yeah.
Only Astros fans are sick of Mike Burrows.
Yeah, and Burrows, so with the Astros, It's like, or with Mike Burrows, it's more the same. With the USMNT, they had built up a lot of goodwill. And at least for me, they had forfeited it 100%. I am back to, okay, these are the same guys.
Yeah,
they had done
so much to make us think, you know what, maybe this golden generation has a little bit in them.
No. This is a bunch of Bocanegras and
Bocanegra would have cleared that ball line.
He
wouldn't have got dunked on by the random Belgian player.
It's hard to think of past guys that
give me
have been
Gooch.
Worse.
Where's Gooch? Where's Eddie Pope? All these guys would have made plays on the ball yesterday.
But you know, it's the same. Like, these guys actually aren't. I think they're a little bit better, but they're not actually functionally close to, you know, being a top eight team.
The benchmarks remains
the
2002 team, and we're talking now 24 years ago.
We need South Korea to get another. Was it South Korea? Yeah,
Japan and South Korea.
We need them to get another World Cup.
Or
we do better. That's our home soil.
Or can we get Mexico in the round of 16? At least that's a familiar opponent.
That too. And they definitely are making the quarterfinals. they got a hard seat. Someone called them the Mike Tomlin Steelers.
Oh, yeah. Mexico, the ceiling is round of 16. And that now, if it wasn't apparent before, it's apparent now. That's our ceiling. And we'll see. In 4 years. So we got plenty of time to not care about them for 4 years.
Yeah. There's kids in high school right now that are going to be the next Tim Ream.
There's...
I didn't want to set the bar too high for him.
Give me an Eddie Pope. Eddie Pope was a very good player. Can I get an Eddie Pope? Can I get a Gooch?
Who's the Brooks?
Give me a John Brooks. He scored a game winner in 2014.
Brooks.
Give me solid center backs, and I feel much the spine of the U.S. teams. The center backs, the midfield, which was terrible, admittedly, yesterday.
I was going to say, I could go for a proper 10.
Good luck.
I know. Hey, we can all wish. We can all wish for things.
Yeah. Hey, we're a smoothed top 16 team in the world. We prove that every 4 years.
Every year. Or every time we qualify, we show that.
Every time we're asked how good we are, we'd show you.
Top 16.
Top 16.
If they expanded the college football playoff to 16 teams, we would make it every single year.
That's right. That's right. What a standard. We'll get to Willie P and anyone else.
We're Mizzou football.
hey, look at us. Oh, good stuff. We'll get to Willie P and anyone else when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.